Hello and welcome to Sleeping Giants, the East Anglian Daily Times and Ipswich Stars sports podcast. Our chief football writer Stuart Watson is here with the latest from Ipswich Town as they prepare for their game against Blackburn. But first, we have to talk about the FA Cup. Town just about drew 2-2 with Lincoln at Portman Road last weekend and are now faced with a replay on Tuesday, which is being screened live on TV. Was the side a bit lucky to get as far as a replay, Stuart?
Absolutely, yeah. If you were a complete neutral who didn't know anything about the two teams, you'd have thought Lincoln were the Championship side and Ipswich were non-league, if we're being brutally honest. Really disappointing performance, considering it was pretty much a full-strength team, or certainly probably the best that Mick had available, given injuries and illnesses. And Mick McCarthy's usual post-match insistence that the opposition are a very good side, unfortunately, has sounded probably more ridiculous than ever.
When we get to the replay, is it a bit of a lose-lose situation for him? Because obviously if they win, great, but they've then got a fourth round tie to contend with. And if he loses as well, it can only get worse really from a fan's point of view, can't it?
Yeah, it's a trick. It's certainly a lot to lose if they lose the replay. It'd be a big humiliation, considering the game's being shown live on BBC, so it'll be there for the whole nation to see. There'll be people wanting Lincoln to win. The draw for the fourth round is obviously fairly underwhelming. It's not really a huge carrot for either team, to be honest, at home to Brighton, who are top of the Championship as we sit here talking. But I guess, in terms of there is a win element that if Ipswich do get through, and there might be a feeling that Brighton have got bigger fish to fry in terms of getting promotion to the promised land of the Premier League. You don't know what sort of team they'd put out in the replay. Ipswich would have just the cup to focus on, you'd think, and at home they might get through that, and all of a sudden you're in the sixth round. So I think there is a win element to the tie, but huge pressure undoubtedly.
After the Lincoln game at the weekend, I was sort of having a look at social media, and there were a few people who were very frustrated, obviously, with the match, but there were a few people who seemed to be sort of knocking the team selection a little bit. And having had a look at it, it was quite a youthful side. There were sort of a lot of the exciting players that fans want to see. So is there a little bit of hypocrisy there from some of the fans who call for these younger players, and then when they go into the team and don't produce the goods, they suddenly get on their backs?
Yeah, I won't stitch up the person that I was speaking to, but I spoke to a former player as I was heading down from the press box to the press room afterwards, and he sort of raised his eyebrows at me and said, well, that's the midfield that the fans have been calling out for, and look what happens. We had Lawrence and Ward on the wings and Dizel and Brew, two creative players in the centre of the park. People have been calling out for a better midfield balance. I think it actually went too far the other way. It was probably too lightweight. It was probably short of someone that can break things up, a Cole Skews or a Douglas. You need one, not both of those, but I think that highlighted that you need at least one of them. Andre Dizel, as we all know, is not ready for week in, week out senior football at the moment. He's still growing, his physicality needs to improve. Had a fantastic final 20 minutes against Bristol City as a substitute, and in the games he started, certainly last Saturday, he was fairly anonymous and the game went on around him. But no, you're right, in terms of the team selection, I don't think Mick had much of another option, to be honest. McGoldrick's pulled up injured the day before the game. Leon Best, we're told, has had sickness and diarrhoea, so he's out. And that adds to your Tommy Smiths, your Luke Higham, Teddy Bishop. So it's a fairly long injury list. If you look down that squad list, there wasn't actually many options beyond the five kids that were on the bench, really. So that just highlights how much they need some fresh faces this month.
Up next is Blackburn in the league again, of course. Will the draw against Lincoln have an effect on the Blackburn game? Will it make the players want to go out and prove themselves against a team that's also struggling in the Championship? Or is it likely to be something which knocks their morale even further and could open the door for Blackburn to get what we would hope would be an unlikely victory?
Well, it's not going to help, I don't think, the performance. The pressure, the feeling of pressure at Portman Road is growing by the game at the moment. I think they're feeling frozen by the feeling that's coming from the crowd. Okay, it's not, you know, the atmosphere that we've discussed at other clubs where, you know, certain fans at certain clubs might turn on the players and it becomes quite poisonous. It's never really got that way at Portman Road. Boxing Day against Fulham, it turned that way a little bit in the second half, but I still think, by and large, most of them turn up wanting to get behind the team, and they start off trying to get behind the team, but they're just not being given anything at the moment. And the onus is very much on the players and the team to get the fans behind them at the moment. But I think they're finding it a difficult environment to play in front of their own fans at the moment. And they probably, you know, in some ways it might have been better getting away from Portman Road at this weekend and having a slightly a bit more freedom away from home.
Well, it's, as we said, Blackburn visiting Ipswich this weekend. What do we think they're going to bring? They're not doing great in the Championship, I think they're third bottom at the moment, so in the relegation places, but in the grand scheme of things, there's an awful long way behind Ipswich as things currently stand. What sort of team are they likely to put out, and is it going to be one of those scrappy games where possibly one goal nicks it, or is it an opportunity for Ipswich to go out there and maybe put in a bit of a performance?
Well, I thought Owen Coyle was a strange appointment for Blackburn back in the summer with his links to various other clubs up in that part of the world. It's not been a great start for them. They're in the relegation zone, as you say, but it's a big game because if Blackburn win, then the gap, they're in the relegation zone, the gap gets cut to 4 points. And all of a sudden, Ipswich, who we've all been saying are far too good to get dragged into a relegation dogfight, they'll scrap out enough points here and there and they'll be fine. They'll bob along in the bottom half, but no danger of a relegation fight. I think if Blackburn win on Saturday, then that's the moment where I think we all have to take that as a very serious prospect. It's not going to be easy. They've just done the double over Newcastle in the last few months, Blackburn, which is no mean feat. They've just beaten QPR in the Cup last weekend off the back of the second Newcastle win. So back-to-back wins for them, something, as we all know, Ipswich haven't done all season. So it's probably going to be one of those typical scrappy, nervy, lower part of the table Championship matches. And it's time for a few of the Ipswich players to step up and prove that they're fighting for manager Mick McCarthy. They, you know, we speak to them all in press conferences and they all say they owe him a debt of gratitude. It's his squad. He signed most of these players. You know, they respect him. He treats them like adults. They like his honesty and his man management approach. Well, they need to show that in some of their performances at the moment. The thing that worried me most about last weekend wasn't necessarily the lack of quality, because when things are going against you, you might make bad decisions, you might make mistakes on the ball. They're certainly conceding some soft, sloppy goals at the moment, but it was the lack of fight and perhaps the lack of usual Ipswich Town Mick McCarthy qualities. There was no one really flying into tackles or really trying to get people going. And I look across that team and perhaps there's no shortage of leaders. Christoph Berra was the obvious choice of captain with no Chambers and Skuse there last weekend. Beyond them, Josh Emmanuel, Miles Kenlock, Adam Webster are youngsters at the back. Kevin Brew is obviously sort of, his English isn't fantastic. Then you've got Lawrence and Ward, Dizelle, they're all quite quiet, shy lads to speak to. Brett Pittman obviously tries to get people going, but sometimes wonder if he does it in the right possible way. He's a bit of a moaner and a whinger up front. So they need some leaders, not just in terms of words and you know, trying to whip up those around them, but also in terms of action, someone who's brave and can blank out the negativity and demand the ball and think, right, I'm going to be the person that gets things going, as Jim Magilton used to do. And it's not just age, as Kieran Dyer used to do at the age of 17. You know, if you trust in your ability and you think you're a good enough player, then you should want the ball and you should trust yourself in tight areas. So I think a few of the players need to step up. A lot of the criticism always lands at Marcus Evans' door and at Mick McCarthy's door, but the players need to be able to sort of step up now as well.
And what sort of team are we likely to see, do you think? Is it going to be back to that tried and trusted Mick sort of formula for this season, sort of one up front, Skewson Douglas in midfield, or is he going to sort of try and stick with what he's been clearly trying to do over the last few weeks and maybe go at it a bit more with his team selection?
Not a huge amount of choice, really. It's kind of it really is bare bones at the moment. As you say, the only option is to bring in Jonathan Douglas, who was the only sort of senior outfield player on the bench not used last week. Mick seems to have got on the, going off on a tangent about Jonathan Douglas, but Mick seems to have got himself in a bit of a situation with Jonathan Douglas in that, you know, he, cutting off his nose to spite his face last weekend, I thought it was the game where, ironically, it was the game where they needed Douglas. It was the game where they needed a bit of fight, they needed a bit of experience, for all the reasons discussed. And I think Mick made a sort of flippant comment afterwards, I believe, on the radio to say, well, if I'd have brought him on, he'd have got booed anyway, referencing his the reaction when he came on against QPR. So that kind of sums up the relationship between Mick and the fans at the moment. And there was a few incidents, I believe, of things getting shouted at players during the game and then reacting at corners and things like that. A few players sniping at each other on the pitch as well. So it's all a bit sort of fractured at the moment. Going back to your question about what he can do to change it, I mean, that is the only option, is to bring Douglas in and maybe drop a striker if he wants to just really solidify it and go with one up front and maybe play Pittman up front on his own. But beyond that, there's not a lot else he can do.
We'll move on to transfers then. What's the latest that we've got? Obviously, we've got in front of you a spread that we've done in the paper with some of the potential comings in and goings out as well. What is the latest news? Are Ipswich any closer to bringing anybody in?
They just seem to be running into brick walls at the moment. It seems like the latest is a bid for Preston's Jordan Hugill. 1.5 million rejected. This is was from a respected transfer website and has been backed up by our colleagues up at the Lancashire Post. So he seems to be the one they've moved on to. Another Daryl Murphy type player, very strong, chases everything, presses from the front. But that seems to have been knocked back as well. I think that sort of money, 1.5 million, seems to be the kind of bracket that they're in. From what I understood back in August on transfer deadline day, that was kind of how much money had been left in the pot from the Murphy deal, because, okay, he went to Newcastle for 3 million quid, but the wages for Leon Best, the loan fee for Tom Lawrence, and of course the wages he's on as well, had kind of eaten into that Murphy money as well. So I think that's the sort of area that they're looking at. I don't think they're going to be willing to go much beyond 1.5 million, and I'm not sure that that's going to get you much mid-season at the moment. There's a lot of clubs looking for strikers. There's that usual sort of domino effect that's going on. The Danny Ward one at Rotherham won't go away, although it's being reported that bids have sort of reached the 2 million plus mark now, which I think would price Ipswich out. Keeping an eye on the Corley Woodrow situation at Fulham. They're happy to loan him out. I'm not sure, from what I understand, Ipswich might be more keen on a permanent deal, so that might be something that they're talking about at the moment. Marley Watkins at Barnsley. They definitely tried to sign him after Murphy went on approaching deadline day in August. They had £1 million turned down for him. Could go back in for him, but Barnsley are on the verge of selling Sam Winnell, another striker, to Sheffield Wednesday. So are they going to want to sell two strikers? Probably not. Watford, Jerome Sinclair, could be going out on loan. Youngster they signed from Liverpool last season. Again, Odion Ighalo's being linked with a move away from them to the big money in China. So there's a lot of things that are reliant on other deals happening. As Mick says, there's a litany of reasons why deals aren't happening. Just been speaking to Marcus Stewart, funnily enough, today for a piece in tomorrow's newspaper. Famously made a mid-season switch in 2000 and made all the difference, obviously, in firing them to promotion. And he was talking about, you know, he jumped at the chance to sign for Ipswich at the time because they were obviously a progressive club, and it was clear that after a couple of near misses in the playoffs that they're a club going places, and perhaps it's a harder sell for them at the moment. It's geographically, sometimes things are against Ipswich where they are in the country, and they probably haven't got the on-field stuff as the additional sell at the moment. So, as I've said before, it's a tough month to get things done, and the clock is ticking. 20 days to go now.
Yeah, as I say, we're just almost halfway through everything, so it's looking like things are probably going to come down to the wire on the deadline day, or the sort of 2-3 days leading up to it then.
Yeah, I think it probably will go down to the wire, as you know, Ipswich seem to be wanting to play hardball and getting value on transfers, which is admirable in some ways, but the definition of market value, you know, perhaps Daryl Murphy, we've been saying, went for over the odds at £3 million for a 33-year-old, but, you know, market value is the definition of what people are willing to pay, and if they're willing to pay that sort of money, then perhaps Ipswich need to realise that they perhaps need to pay, inverted commas, over the odds if they need to get a player to come in the door. If they're wanting to sort of play that who blinks first game, then it will come down to the wire, and they're running a risk of not getting anyone. And you know, the fixtures coming up are looking tough, and as I say, they might be in an even more desperate situation come towards the end of the month, and maybe that will force their hand, so we'll see.
And they're just strikers the club, do you think, are looking at the moment, or are we looking at sort of possibly a bit of midfield strength, the troublesome right back position is one that's not going away either?
I think strikers clearly the area that they need to sort out, especially with McGoldrick going down with another injury. 2 weeks we're looking at for him, but you know, with his sort of injury background, then we don't know what that's going to be like for the rest of the season. So I think they're probably after a couple of strikers if possible, which probably puts other positions further down the pecking order. That might be more of a summer job for finally sorting out a goal scoring midfielder, finally sorting out a right back. I mean, there's been a couple of players linked. Max Powers, a sort of energetic central midfield player at Wigan, Shea Logan, a right back at Aberdeen, have both been linked. So I think it's probably something that they're looking at, but unlikely to be in January, I would have thought.
There we go. That's all we've got time for on this week's Sleeping Giants. We'll be back again next week after both the Blackburn game and, of course, the Cup replay to react to both of those and look ahead to Town's next league game, which is away at Huddersfield. We'll also take a look at any developing transfer news. Thanks again to Stuart, and thanks for listening.